And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Jazz are the hottest team in the NBA, and I'm not afraid to talk about them. New York is proud of the Knicks, and I'm slightly afraid of Tom Thibodeau. And someone's going to have to take the crown from the king because he's not giving it away. Hey, I'm Tass Mellis, and this is what you need to know in the NBA for Friday, January 22nd. Play some of those sweet, sweet horns, JD, because the Utah Jazz are playing some sweet, sweet music of their own right now. 7 wins in a row after starting the season 4-4. They're now up to 11-4, tied for second in the Western Conference. Latest win against the Pelicans in the second game of a baseball doubleheader. And that makes it all the more impressive that they're able to pull away in the third quarter and never look back. Usually, you know, in a doubleheader, a team will come back in the second game. But these Jazz are for real right now. And people question, hey, we've seen this before with the Utah Jazz. Last year, they won 10 in a row. They won 14-15. And then, first round of the playoffs, they're up 3-1 against the Denver Nuggets, and they lost that series. But I think this is a different team. On Thursday night, you saw Donovan Mitchell, fantastic performance, 36 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, doing more of everything. Career high in assists, 9 threes a game is what he's shooting this year. He's really expanding his game. That really helps out Rudy Gobert down the lane. He's growing. He's in year 4. He's only 24 years old, and I think the team is going to follow his lead, and they have been this year. Jordan Clarkson, his best year, the leading 6th man of the year candidate. Mike Conley playing alongside Donovan Mitchell in that starting lineup looks way more comfortable in year 2 here with the Jazz. Bojan Bogdanović is back healthy. He's an incredible scorer, could score 20 a game. He's coming around those screens. The team plays defense, of course. They're a top 7 defense. They're a top 7 offense. I think they are growing. I think they are better. But there was some controversy after this game because the TNT crew was questioning whether or not Donovan Mitchell is good enough, whether or not he is a superstar caliber player. And people, well, they were very upset with Shaq talking to him this way after the game.
Father, this is Shaq. I said tonight that you are one of my favorite players, but you don't have what it takes to get to the next level. I said it on purpose. I wanted you to hear it. What do you have to say about that?
All right. That's it.
That's it?
All right, that's it.
Okay, cool.
I mean,
I wanted you to hear it.
I've been hearing, well, Shaq, I've been hearing that since my rookie year. You know, I'm just going to get better and do what I do.
Good.
At the end of the day.
Well, that's what I wanted you to hear you say. Yes, love your game, brother. Keep it up.
Appreciate it.
Twitter was angry. Articles were written. It wasn't just a few eggs, so I thought I should address it. Here's my take. That is Shaq's method of motivation. Questioning players. Hey, you good enough? You going to be better? And players take to it. You can hear Donovan Mitchell. First, he giggles when Shaq says, hey, it's Shaq. Because he loves Shaq. And then by the end of it, by the end of the 30-second clip, Donovan Mitchell says, hey, I appreciate that. That's the benefit of having Hall of Fame players on the broadcast. Players will always listen, even when they're being questioned, even when their greatness is being questioned. So as far as people's anger goes, I think people are conflating, combining the fact that quite often, Shaq, Chuck, it's clear they don't watch a lot of NBA games. They watch the games that are on their network. Chuck watches games elsewhere, but they're not entirely up to date with what's going on in the league from day to day, from week to week. Donovan Mitchell is clearly growing. He's in year 4. His team is getting better. He's not a finished package at 24 years of age. His team, as I explained, is looking great behind him. So the anger, I think, comes from, hey, celebrate this game. Celebrate this guy, which is totally fair. I think that is sort of a problem in sports broadcasting. In the basketball world, having covered it for a while, there isn't just a love, appreciation for the game. There just seems to be a little bit too much curmudgeoning happen. That's not a word, but that's what is happening on the panels at times. So I think that's where people are coming from. Let's celebrate Donovan Mitchell, a guy who clearly should be celebrated. He loves his community. He works his ass off. He's getting better. He's a great ambassador for the league. I'm done. A guy who is getting the most out of his team this season, like Donovan Mitchell is with the Utah Jazz, is Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau. Let's talk about the New York Knicks. They are 8-8. He's coaching up this team, and they are getting everything out of those players. That coaching staff is getting guys to do what they're supposed to do without going beyond their skill sets. Look at Julius Randle on Thursday night when they beat the Golden State Warriors. He only shot 11 times. Julius Randle is going to be an all-star because Tom Thibodeau is getting him to pass. He had 9 assists in this game to go along with 16 points and 17 rebounds. I'm sure Julius Randle was happy when Draymond Green was ejected. We'll get to that in a sec. Let's talk about the Knicks. Actually, let's talk about Draymond Green for a sec and Tom Thibodeau, because it seemed like Tom Thibodeau was ready to throw down with Draymond Green. I scanned the eye line of this video here, and it looked like Tom Thibodeau was clearly saying to Draymond Green, anytime, any place. Knicks on MSG tweeting this out. So good. Tom Thibodeau is ready to fight for his team, and his team is fighting for him. RJ Barrett, number 3 pick in the 2019 draft. He's getting more steady. He has a lot of bad games, but he's getting steadier. He had a career-high 28 in this one. Mitchell Robinson quickly became a starter this season, changed his agent, but Tom Thibodeau has him going. Alec Burks is back for this team off the bench. They need that scoring. Obi Toppin only playing 12 minutes per game as a rook, but he's doing some things, shooting the three. Great block on Kelly Oubre in this one. They are balling out in New York. I'm surprised they're getting enough scoring, but if everybody doesn't try and do a little too much, this team can do good things. They're 500. They've got the playoffs in their sights. Let's get to that Draymond Green ejection, because it was wild. He was tossed a minute left in the first half. He got his second technical because he was yelling at his teammate. It was a weird play. James Wiseman was at the high post. Draymond Green was trying to pass to him. James Wiseman was kind of holding off his defender, kind of sealing him, but he didn't do it well enough. Draymond Green's pass became a turnover. They go back up the floor, and Green yells at him. He either says, front that, which would be weird. You don't front as an offensive player. As you hold a guy off, you know, you are in front, but that's a defensive term for, you know, jumping in front of a guy in the post. Or he said, fuck that, which is far, far more likely. And the rookie referee ejected Draymond Green because he thought that the expletive was coming at him, while Steve Kerr was told at half by the referees that it was a mistake. Warriors NBC reporter Kendra Andrews let us know that. Without Draymond Green in the second half, the Warriors were lost, both defensively and offensively, where Draymond Green basically runs the point for them. Bob Fitzgerald, Warriors broadcaster, at one point said, Draymond, the decision maker, which is accurate and would make for a good sitcom, I think. Moving on to the last game, Lakers and the Bucks. It was supposed to be a finals preview, but the Lakers just pulled away the last few minutes pretty easily. Even though the Bucks were up and it was a close game, kind of felt like last year in the bubble where the Bucks couldn't close out against great teams when they lost to the Miami Heat there in 5 games. More on the Bucks in a sec. Got to talk about the Lakers. LeBron had 34, surprisingly, his first game of the season with 30 or more points. And LeBron and Anthony Davis aren't having amazing seasons by their standards. LeBron's playing the fewest minutes of his career at 24 points per game. It's the fewest points he's averaged since his rookie season. Anthony Davis, 5th straight game scoring fewer than 20 points. And after the game, when Chris Webber asked him, how does it feel going from a championship into this year? Are you more confident? Anthony Davis, it felt like he needed somebody to talk to. He just riffed for like 4 minutes. It was awesome to listen to. It felt like he was talking to a friend, just saying, I can't find my shot. I can't get comfortable. But at the same time, the Lakers have such a great leadership, the hierarchy, that it trickles down to everybody else. They have the best defense in the league, which I'm surprised by. LeBron's teams, you know, after winning a championship, they'll fall off a little bit, especially with the personnel changeover, with Avery Bradley gone, Danny Green gone, Rajon Rondo gone, Dwight Howard gone. You know, they brought in a couple offensive guys, and Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, but Marc Gasol, he's awesome. Wesley Matthews, he's awesome. But more importantly, the structure there, they're just so, so good. And also, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're 8-0 on the road, but only 4-4 at home. LeBron needs things to motivate him here in year 18. I mean, that's just LeBron. That's just who he is. He's always said playing on the road is more fun for him. And the Bucks, as I said, man, those last few minutes of a game, if Coach Mike Budenholzer doesn't want to change, if he's going to continue to allow teams shoot threes, they are going to walk into those threes and feel confident that they can make them. Last four games, a lot of threes raining down on the Bucks, 44% shooting by their opponents beyond the arc. And also, you know, those switches on the perimeter, the players are confident. LeBron says, I can beat anybody out here when he gets a big switch on him. Or Montrezl Harrell in the post saying, well, he just put a little guy on me. There seems to be a lack of ingenuity here with the Bucks, and it's just not working. Even though they're a very, 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 very good regular season team, are they going to be able to get it done in the postseason? Huge question. Minor trade here in the association. The Cavs traded Kevin Porter Jr. to the Rockets for a second-round pick. Porter was a rookie last year. He did promising things. I really like watching that lefty play last year. Then in November, in the offseason, he was involved in a single car accident, and he was charged with an improper handling of a firearm that was in the car. Those charges were later dropped, but he hasn't taken the floor this year, and then this past week, he got into a very, very heated argument in the Cavs locker room, including with Cavs GM Kobe Altman. So they decided to trade him. The Rockets get a promising young player. Hopefully he can rehabilitate whatever is going on in his world. That's it for me. Make sure you tune into the drop today where we will pick our awards for the first month of the NBA season. Should be a blast. I will be back Monday to give you the news as fast as I possibly can. I'll see you then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.